All right, if everyone's here, let's get started. Okay, welcome back, everyone. When we last left off, our group of adventurers had just delved down below the Arconus Palace into a deep cavern that seemed to be the entrance to the vivified labyrinth, making their way across a few of the rather precarious and in some cases rickety bridges. They stepped gingerly across the boards before a few of them, unfortunately, due to the nature and age of the boards, fell over to the side, only to be caught either by rope or by dragon, and hauled back up. And it took a little bit of a while, but the group did make it all the way down to the bottom of the bridges. And I believe this is where we begin. As all of you take a breath, catching yourselves and looking back up at the almost 80 feet back up to the ceiling of this deep cavern, and realizing that a fall from that height would have been rather unpleasant in many ways, you look around and realize that as of right now, you're still not quite at the vivified labyrinth. And it's time to keep moving forward. What would you like to do?
Ruth wants to check and see if that one skeleton thingy is still over there in the water and still wearing that shiny chainmail.
Okay, give me a moment. Okay, as you make your way over onto the pier that laps up against the underground lake, you bend over and peer into the water. Make a perception check.
Total 24.
24, And you do have dark vision, excellent.
Well, she has low light vision, actually. She's at work with attuneness to the really, really dark places.
If you don't have dark vision, the water is very, very dark. It's kind of hard to tell. You could probably make an intelligence check to figure out where it had fallen exactly.
Mukan will walk up to her, still with Tanis on his back, and he will speak to Rutha. Say, what are you looking for?
Well, in my excitement, I managed to swipe one of those strange fungal creatures off that upper level. She'll point with a finger, and it seems that it might have landed, well, I rolled a 3, so somewhere in the water here. I'm not sure exactly where.
Yeah, I remember seeing that thing fall. That was a pretty good hit. Alright, so you're really serious about finding this thing, huh?
It would certainly be pretty valuable, and if it does belong to our benefactor, fishing it out would be the least of them.
All right. Can Mukan, who does have dark vision, up to 60 feet, can he see it?
Make a perception check.
All right. His perception check is a 21.
As Mukan focuses his eyes into the deep, almost inky water, he does see a bit of a glint, something that doesn't seem like it is perfectly settled at the bottom. And the water itself is about 20 feet deep.
All right. How badly do you want this stuff? Because it's down on the bottom.
Well, she'll turn and look at the rest. Do we think it's worth it to try and fish out the last of those chainmail shirts? The ones that we have were enchanted, and there's no reason to assume this one isn't. But do we want to move on or grab it?
Tannis will speak up and ask, do you have any idea how much it's worth?
What color is the water down here?
The entire area is very, very dark in general. If you recall, it's almost like most of the light that is even in this area is coming up from the fungal garden up above.
Is it like overgrown with the fungus and everything else?
Oh no, no. It's the fungal garden is 80 feet up above. But it's hard to tell the color of the water since it is so low light.
Okay, so Nerva's not going to comment then.
So what's under there right now?
Well, another one of those creatures that we fought, and it was wearing the same armor that the other does. At least it looked like they were.
You think that armor's valuable? You think we could grab one?
I believe we figured out that the ones that we took off of those other bodies were very enchanted chainmail, and that doesn't come cheaply.
I'm kind of looking for some new chainmail. Maybe I could just dive down and get it.
Oh. Well, yeah, I suppose.
Maybe you should throw some crumbs in there first, see if something comes up and tries to eat it.
Okay. Jack will pick up a rock and throw a rock into the water.
You watch as the water or the rock hits the quietly lapping waves and sends out ripples. You watch as the rock sinks to the bottom. And the moment it hits, you watch as a portion of the base of the pool shifts and begins to move.
Nope, we're leaving.
All
right.
Yeah. Bye. At this point, Shaq, I need to check something.
Oh boy, I bet you do.
How hungry is Shaq?
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
How what is Shaq?
How hungry. I mean, I've had good luck with giant deities before, so...
All right, Shaq. As the rock hits the bottom, and you watch as the base begins to move, you are like, no, I am not about that. That can stay down at the bottom. And as you start making your way across, you can feel the pier beginning to shift and shake. And you get about 5 steps before an enormous claw comes and slams you in back. Does a 37 beat your touch AC?
GM, you know it does.
Okay. Does a 48 beat your CMD?
CMD.
Yes.
Yes, it does. I am.
Okay.
Grappled, aren't I?
Yes. Yes, you are. And I need everybody to roll for initiative.
All right.
Great.
I was curious if anyone was going to disturb the underwater pool, but you guys did it right off the bat, so okay.
Sixteen.
All right. And actually, I think I had already asked you guys to roll for an initiative. So I actually still do have your initiative rolls from before. And I think I'll just use that for the time being. All right. Up first is the underwater creature. You watch as two almost antenna-like stalks rise up out of the water. As this enormous claw, Shaq, you look down and it is encompassing your entire body. And you look over to your friends for a quick moment before the creature drags you back into the water.
Nice. Here we go.
Okay.
Really? That thing was quick. We might as well have let him jump in.
Honestly, I mean, at this point, if I survive this, I'm getting that mail, that chain mail. Like, that's it.
Okay, that ends the creature's turn. Sindar, you're up next. You watched as an enormous claw with two stalks and two black beady eyes rose up out of the water before grabbing Shaq and vanishing back underwater with him. What would you like to do?
He looked at the others. Well, I could fry the entire pool, but I don't think Shaq would appreciate that. He's gonna hold his action until somebody finds a way to separate Shaq and the creature.
Okay, Sindar holds his action. Rutha, you're up next.
Okay, well, she's initially kind of taken aback, but without really even hesitating, she will detach the bandolier that holds her shield across her back and get the great axe, her darkwood great axe, and she's diving in. She's going in there.
Okay. And as you dive into the water, the very first thing you can tell is it's cold. Very, very cold.
Nice.
The second thing you can tell is it's very, very dark.
Okay. Then, with her actual action, she will cast light on her... Actually, no, the sword at her side. Does she need to have the sword in her hand to cast... To use the chosen one trait special ability to make a light spell activate on the sword?
I will say no. You don't have to be wielding it in order to actually get it to light up.
Cool. Then the sword has light, and because it is that special chosen masterwork weapon, it shines twice as brightly as a normal light spell would.
All right, and as your blade immediately glows like a brilliant beacon under the deep water, you can see very well, and it doesn't take but a split second for you to see Shaq and the creature that holds him. Now, in your time throughout Corvosa, you have heard of these creatures, nasty creatures, that can give you a nasty pinch called reef claws. They can make for good eating. They're almost like a lobster, cross between a lobster and an eel. What you see before you is the largest reef claw you have ever seen in your life. As its claw itself is larger than Shaq is. This is the creature that you see is holding your friend.
Looks delicious.
I'm sure it believes the same thing of you as well. But I believe that was your movement to get into the water and your standard action in order to light it up so everyone can see. I believe you still might have potentially a little bit of movement left if you wished to use it.
In her heavy armor, does she sink enough to just touch bottom? I know she can't, like, move as fast as she would on land, but is she on the floor of the lagoon?
I will say yes.
Okay. Then for the remainder, she'll move as close as she can and look to see if the light seems to affect the creature, if it's, like, scared of it. I mean, this place is really, really dark, and I imagine a very, very bright source of light is something it is not used to or happy with. Can she tell if it's affecting the thing?
Make a sense motive check.
Oh, okay. Plus 9 is 25.
You can tell that the creature is surprised by the light, unused to it. But you've seen reef claws out in the sunlight before. It doesn't affect it as negatively, potentially, as you would have hoped.
Okay. Cool. Then she's down there. It's been like 6 seconds, so she should be over here, I think, right?
For the time being, yes. Nice. After Rutha is Cone.
Alright, I'm going to attempt to cast Sleep on it.
Alright. And, okay.
Tannis is standing by to Miss Fortune that, by the way.
Good to know. And both of you can see it. What's the DC?
12.
Where is it at?
It's at the bottom of the pool, currently.
Oh, yes.
It rolled a natural 10.
I will not, Miss Fortunate.
Okay. In that case, it passes. You watch as its eyes begin to flutter and flicker for a quick second before they snap back open, and it looks back up at the surface of the water, looking in your direction, Cone, as you've just attacked it. After Cone, Shaq, you're up next.
All right. Okay. Yes, Rutha rushes in to save Shaq's butt. Shaq's gonna hit the claw with his sword.
Okay. Make an attack roll, and I believe you get a small penalty as you are currently grappled by it.
Can I rage first? Because I'm pretty sure that adrenaline rush from being grabbed by a claw would allow me to go into rage, but is that a quick action, or...?
I believe it's a swift action.
Swift action, okay. Alright, so... Okay, so does a swift action mean I get both hits, or just one?
I believe you still get both.
Okay, great. I'm gonna go into rage. So that's... plus 4 to strength. Gotta do math here for a second.
Yes, you do take a -2 on all attack rolls and combat maneuver checks, except those to try and get out of the grapple.
Okay. So I'm gonna go into rage, and let's see. Does adding to my strength do anything? No, it doesn't do anything to my base attack bonus. That's purely... Okay, let's see. It's 4 to strength and con, plus... 2 to will. Okay.
After Shaq, Tannis, you're up next.
Sorry, I'm still adding. I should just have like a rage counter. Okay. Cool. Alright, yeah. I am ready for... You know what? I'm going to try to break out of the grapple.
Okay.
Alright, so that's a CMB?
CMB against a CMD.
Alright. How's a 31 look?
31. You begin to take your hands together and begin to slowly pry the claws apart. And you can feel the tendons flexing both in the creature's grasp and in your shoulders, wrists, and elbows. And you can feel it slip ever so slightly, but not quite enough.
Dang it. Do I still get one hit?
Unfortunately, you do not. I believe attempting to get out is... Even if it is just a standard action, you can't take another attack after you use a standard action.
Gotcha. Okay. Good to know.
Tanis, you're up next.
Alright. Tanis can see the creature. How big is this creature, size-wise?
Pretty big.
Okay, so she could cast a spell in one area of its body and not endanger Shaq.
You could probably... You definitely could hit the tail without actually hitting Shaq in its claw.
Okay, then she is going to use her move action. She reaches back into her bag and feels around quickly before grabbing hold of a scroll case and ripping out the scroll. She is going to open it, and she is going to use her scroll of ball lightning. And that is not a cleric spell, so she'll have to make a use magic device check.
All right.
But... It is only a second. It's a caster level 2 spell. Or, no, caster level 4 spell, I believe. So that should be a DC 24, which she gets to add that much anyway. So
I think, if we recall correctly, it's a 4th level spell, though you would have to be a higher caster level in order to cast it.
So, for a sorcerer, what spell or what caster level do you have to be? I'm not familiar with the class. I looked it up a minute ago, but I must have confused myself.
If you were a primary caster, you'd get it at 7th. If you were a sorcerer, you would get it at 8th.
Okay, that's fine. So, she has a total of 30 on her use magic device.
Okay, I think that would... Let me double check.
Oh, I take that back. She has a total of 40 on the use magic device.
Then, yes, I will say that that definitely does pass. So 20 plus class total, definitely, yes.
All right. So she's going to cast it. She gets 2 orbs of lightning, which she will cause them to appear behind it and below, rather than in front, so that it's attacked from the other side and hopefully draws its attention away. Then she can move them 20 feet, so she will move them into a space. They will stop, and he has to make a reflex save, DC 22.
22.
Or be hit for 3d6 from each of them. And I believe that would be 2 reflex saves. 1 for each.
Okay. He rolled a natural 19 for his first.
All right, let me go ahead and misfortune that.
Okay. He rolled a natural 19 again, unfortunately. And so he passes the first. And unfortunately, he also passes the second as the water begins to glow and crackle. And Shaq, you can feel your teeth beginning to go numb as the water seems to almost become electrified.
All right. Then he takes, it would have been 16, so he takes 8 points off of the first one. And it would have been 11, so he takes 5 points off the second one.
So
a total
is
of
it
13 points.
Ball lightning reflex negates.
It is reflex negate, so never mind. I thought
about
it was
that.
Reflex halves.
Alright, he seems to be jittering a bit more in the water, but doesn't seem to be affected by it as much as he would have liked. Alright, and that brings us back to his turn. Very first thing he's going to do is constrict on Shaq. And I believe, it already made a successful grapple check, so it just happens. Shaq, you can feel the claw beginning to close as you at first tried to get out of it, and you can feel your ribs bending inward, and you feel something pop that you think was rather important as you take 25 points of crushing damage.
Oof. Okay.
All right. And it's seeing that Arutha is also right there. It's just gonna swim forward a little bit and then just make one attack. And he misses as he swings at you, Arutha, whether it be because it's still blinded by the light or the... blessing of your patron. The creature doesn't seem to quite manage to hit you. And that ends its turn. Sindar, you're up next.
So, if I followed this right, the Oracle cast a pile of lightning inside the water and it did not fry everybody in the water?
As far as you can tell that it's starting to have an effect. And the magic may be bleeding out slowly. But as of right now, it doesn't seem to be enough to be causing damage. Potentially later it might, but it is also a very large pool of water, so it might be leaking out at a much slower rate.
How far underwater is the creature?
15 feet, I would say, actually.
Well, don't know unless we actually try. He will charge his chakram and see if he can gauge through the water correctly to hit the creature.
Okay, make your attack rolls.
With a natural 2 and followed by a natural 10, I don't think so. That'll be a 14 and a 17.
14 and a 17. You take your chakram, flip them in your hand, charge them with electricity, and throw them into the water. Unfortunately, the moment they strike the surface of the water, they seem to skip off, almost like skipping stones. And you do recall you have fought underwater before. When you threw weapons, they were significantly less effective, to nearly the point of uselessness.
Yeah, that's his turn.
Good to know. Rutha, you're up next.
Okay, now you got close enough to try and hit her a minute ago, right?
Yep.
Cool. Two attacks. Let's do it. Okay, that's peculiar. I've got to look up stats. Great axe. Somehow, it got deleted from my spreadsheet. It was a plus one great axe, right?
That is correct.
Okay, cool. That's going to be a total 17. Let's try.
Unfortunately, 17 does not hit. Well, you do manage to come in contact with it, but your sword glances off its chitinous armor.
Okay. Well, then this time she's going to hop down and swing again. So that goes better. She is doing with the great axe, so let's give it a shot. That's even worse. That's not good. Okay. So, two swings, two misses. Terrible.
Sorry. Once again, you bring your sword or great axe up in order to attempt to cleave the claw that is hanging on to Shaq from its location, but you don't quite manage to succeed. After Ruth's cone.
Alright, I'm going to attempt to cast sleep on it again.
Okay. It, once again, you can feel your magic coming out and reaching out and resting against its mind. But it seems to be in a blood frenzy now. And it's difficult for you to manage to get a hold on it. Unfortunately, it passed its save. After Cone, Shaq, you're back up.
Okay, Shaq is...
Hang on.
Okay. Jack is going to attempt to attack it with his with his sword this time. And see if he could maybe loosen the grip by attacking it. Like, could I use my sword to aid me in the CMD or the CMB? Like, try to pry it open?
Unfortunately, it would be the same check. It would just be a different type of flavor.
Okay, fair enough. All right. So yeah, I'm going to attack the joint of the crab's claw there. With my holy falchion, so it's a 23.
23. Was that with the minus because they're grappled? Minus two for based on your grapple condition?
It's a 21, then, in that case.
That will still hit, actually.
Okay.
Roll for damage.
All right. And it's... Sixteen points of damage.
Not bad.
And may I make another attack?
Yes, you may.
All right. I'm guessing an 11 doesn't hit.
11, unfortunately, does not hit. As you bring your axe around once again, you feel it constrict once again, and you don't get as much power behind the second swing. Tanis, you're up next.
All right. Tanis is going to, well, first of all, he gets two reflex saves against the balls of lightning.
Indeed.
And that's a DC 22.
Pass the first. Does not pass the second.
Cool. Then he takes 9 points of damage.
Good to know.
And it is electrical damage.
Yes.
Here's hoping that a water monster is weak to electric. Then Tanis is going to use, seeing that the scroll didn't help her as much as she had wanted it to, she's going to close her eyes for a moment, focus in on her own powers, before fixing it with a dark, sort of a brooding, creepy gaze, and she's going to cast Bone Shaker on it.
Ooh, fortitude save?
Yes, fortitude save for a partial, for half damage, and to not be moved.
Alright, so. DC 22, I assume?
This is DC... Just a second. That's a second level spell. DC 21.
21. He does not pass. Takes full damage.
Alright, and she will go ahead and move him 5 feet towards the surface as his bones and chitinous plates seem to shake and tremble within him, tearing his flesh. And he takes 25 points of damage.
Good to know.
Nice.
And Mukon will go ahead and take off. And yeah, they will fly to about 50 feet above the water. Well, let's say 30 feet above the water.
Okay. Okay, you said he took 25 points of damage?
Correct. And Mukon took off with Tanis to about 30 feet, pretty much directly above where the fight's happening.
Okay. It brings us now to the creature's turn. Once again, it will attempt to maintain the grapple on Shaq. And, it doesn't. Huh.
What?
Yeah, as the water itself seems, and as it, the spasmodic jerking caused by the electrical balls, seems to cause it to loosen its grasp just enough for it to drop you.
Can I make some sort of save to grab onto the claw?
You will be right next to it. And it seems rather surprised. So, it's gonna... You know what? It's gonna try and grab Brutha instead. Does a 23 hit you, Brutha?
Her AC with a two-handed weapon is 23.
Sorry. Okay, it is going to see if it actually grabs you. Does a 34 beat your CMD?
Most likely, but let me check. Oh yes, very much so.
Okay. First, it will do 7 points of bludgeoning damage, and I need you to make a fortitude save.
Total 28.
28, okay. You managed to pass. As your wounds seem to burn more than they should. But you managed to resist whatever effect was coming upon you. And it is going to constrict. Alright, as you once again feel the claws closing in around you, you take 24 points of crushing damage.
Okay.
Okay, that ends the creature's turn. Sindar, you're up next.
And everything's still going on underwater?
Yeah. It's only 10 feet below the water, but still below the water.
Yeah, he's kind of at a loss for anything to do at the moment. Getting in the water would be a bad idea for him, and he can't throw things into the water. So he's just going to hold until... it potentially comes out of the water.
It is still within your threat range. It is absolutely enormous.
Oh, right. Okay. Got it.
Okay. That ends. Its turn. That ends. Sindar's turn. Brutha, you're back up. You are in its claws.
Yes, and she's going to inch against the dying of a light. Time to smash it with this axe.
Go for it.
We aren't considered flanking, are we? Because she's grappled?
I think you have to be on opposite sides of it. And it is enormous.
Okay. Are you kidding me? Huh. Okay, so that definitely misses.
Question. What was your roll? Because I haven't actually... Okay, I'm going to misfortune that for you. Because I haven't misfortune for you.
All right. Then I'm going to try again. Well, that's better. Total pull. 22.
Okay. And once again, minus 2 because you're grappled.
Ah, yeah, 20.
20. That still hits.
Nice. Okay. Where's my d12 at? Okay, 8 plus 6 is 14. And the plus 1, does that add 1 to the attack and the damage?
Yes.
Okay, sweet. Then that is a total 15 points of damage on that first strike.
All right.
Second attack. Actually, because that's got a minus my second strike, so now when this is...
Unfortunately, yes. In that case, you managed to get one good hit in on the claw, and you can see that the water is now beginning to darken with the silty, cloudy color of its purplish blood. Definitely appears to be bloody.
Is she allowed to lay on hand herself before the turn is over?
Swift action, yes.
Okay, cool.
Okay, after Ruthie's cone. And after Kona Shack.
Alright, how does this lobster look at this point?
It's not a happy lobster.
How do my friends look at this point?
That's up to them.
Shack is bloodied currently. But that's not saying a lot. Shack has a lot of HP. Actually, let me do some math real quick. Actually, Shaq is not quite bloodied yet. About 2 points away from it.
Okay, Cohn is going to attempt to steal time against this creature.
Okay.
Wait, hold on a second.
So you would still need to make a melee attack against the creature.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Khan really doesn't want to get in the water. maybe he's not going to get it.
There, let me know what Khan's up to.
Alright, he's just going to try the sleep thing one more time.
Alright.
Never know.
Natural 20.
For real?
Yes. Okay. Yeah. It,
it's totally not working.
Yeah, it definitely does not seem to be flickering or wavering. This time, you almost felt like a magical backlash when you attempted to do so. Okay, that ends Cone's turn. Shaq, you're up next. After Shaq is Tannis. Ah, perfect timing. It is your turn.
Nice. Okay, so Shaq is currently not grappled by the creature, correct?
That is correct. It dropped you.
How far away is this creature's head?
I'd say it's about 5 feet away.
Okay, Shaq is going to swim 5 feet and make a stab at this thing's face.
Go for it.
All right. Would the movement cause me to have to only do one hit, or...?
I'd say you could take a 5 foot step.
Cool. So I can get 2 hits in?
Yes.
Sweet. So, let's see.
Uh, 26? That hits.
Alright. So we got... Uh, 17 points of damage.
Good to know.
And second hit... Uh, 19
unfortunately misses.
All right.
Okay. Tannis, you're up next.
All right. Tannis is going to go ahead and... Yeah, she's going to hit it with, she keeps her eyes fixed on it and mutters under her breath, "You have no idea what you're dealing with." And she's going to cast Debilitating Portent.
Okay.
And it is a DC 23 will save. And, well, I guess technically there's no saving throw right now, but for the next 9 rounds, whenever it makes an attack or tries to cast a spell, it has to succeed against DC 23 will save, or it deals half damage.
Good to know. Very, very nice. Up next is the creature. It will actually swim away from you, Shaq. And will actually break the surface as it brings Rutha up with a single claw. And very first thing it's going to do, since it already succeeded on the... Nope, it's going to see if it can maintain the grapple.
Does that provoke an attack of opportunity?
It will.
Yay! Alright, let's see here. Yeah, let me go ahead and do that. So, one attack of opportunity.
Yes.
Does a solid 20 hit? Total 20.
20 does hit.
Yeah! Alright. That's 12 points of damage.
Okay. Sindar, were you? Okay. Okay, well, in that case, it does so. Just as it rears up and is coming for Tanis, it seems to have done the most damage against it.
But I doubt a 15 actually hits.
Ah, unfortunately, it does not. It manages to just barely glance off its chitinous armor as it attempts to maintain the grapple against Rutha, and does so. And because it does so, it is going to constrict. I'm actually going to give it an acrobatics check to see if it can actually reach you, because I know I keep saying that it's huge, but it is absolutely enormous. Like, if okay. It came up on land, reared up, and reached up, it could grab Tanis. In fact, as it bursts out of the water, this is what you see as it's carrying the paladin in one of its claws.
Oh, I have a question.
Yes.
If you have grappled an opponent, does doing damage with your grapple, does that count as an attack?
It hasn't made an attack roll yet.
Okay, it's just whenever it makes an attack or casts a spell, it has to succeed or do half damage.
Yep. And I already rolled that, and it seems to have done well. So it's now going to make a check to see if it can get up high enough. Yeah, unfortunately you watch as it leaps out of the water and takes a swipe at Tanis at Moon Khan. Alright, and you know what? Call high low, Quicksilver.
Low.
Okay. If it's low, it will end up grabbing Mukan. If it's high, it will end up grabbing you. Or at least attempting to. Ah, fortunately it was high. It's going to make an attack against you. Does a 28 hit you, Tanis?
Yes, it does.
Okay. I'm gonna see if it ends up grappling. Okay, does a 38 beat your CMD?
Yes, it does.
Okay. Yeah, you end up getting almost like an angry great white shark. It breaches the water, reaches up, max you off, Mukan, grabs you, and falls back into the water with you and Mukan. With just you. As Mukan is still in the air. And you take 12 points of bludgeoning damage as you are dragged under the waves. And that ends its turn. Sindar, it's back underwater again.
He's gonna wait for it to come back again.
Okay, you hold your action. Rutha, it's back in your domain.
When it though you are still grappled. Damage, how much crushing damage did it do?
Oh, sorry, I forgot to let you know.
And technically that's a separate will save.
It's not an attack roll. Whenever it makes a successful grapple check, you automatically take this damage, because it's just constricting you, it's just squeezing you. 25 points of squeezing damage. Okay. That is... Rutha, you're up. After Rutha's gone.
Okay. She's going to... How close is she to its face?
I'd say you're relatively close. You could get within... You could get a hit on its face.
Okay. I'd like to make a called shot, if I can. And aim for its face. Try to deal some extra damage, if possible. And I'll take the hit to attack for that.
Alright, to go ahead and make your attack roll. Minus 2 because you are grappled, and I'm going to look up face shot.
Okay.
Okay. So headshot is a minus 5.
Okay. Well.
You were the one who called it.
Yeah, I did. Well, since you've got the list there, how about if she's aiming for the actual claw that's holding her? Like trying to sever it. Is that a different?
It's target? A really thick claw in order to sever it. That's
true.
Completely.
That's true. Okay. Well, do the math on this real fast.
So you're currently at a minus 7.
Right. Okay. So 4 and that's a 17.
17, unfortunately. Total. Doesn't hit as you attempt to go for its face, but it brings its muscled chitinous neck over, and your blade does not quite find the purchase it was looking for.
Alright, then she's gonna try again, just hit something this time. That didn't work, she's mad. There's a natural 20.
Hey, finally. There we go.
Okay, so... Plus 6 is 12. 12 plus 1 is 18. Right? Is that everything? I'm forgetting something. Let me check. Okay, so 14 times 2, 28 points of damage.
Whew! Good hit.
Nice.
And you watch as your great axe sinks into its claw, and you twist, and you watch as the armor begins to separate from the arm, but it is still alive.
How are we doing on breathing?
I believe it's been close to, what, 4, maybe 5 rounds?
Yep.
Yeah, you still have a little ways to go.
Okay.
Okay, Cone, you're up next. And after Cone is Shaq.
Alright, Cone is going to get over it and jump in the water.
Okay. You leap into the water, and the water is absolutely freezing. And you can already feel it getting into the warm underside of your fur. But you were in the water, and the creature is before you. One of its friends in each of its hands.
I will use Cohen's temporal talent, steal time, to try to and try to make a melee attack against the lobster.
Okay, and it needs to make a will save against half your level plus your charisma modifier.
Yes.
So you're level 9. What's your charisma modifier?
Three.
Unfortunately, it rolled better than that. Unfortunately, it made its will save, but you can still make your melee attack.
All right. Twelve,
unfortunately, does not hit. Even with the plus two from your special rapier.
Oh, hold on a minute. Sorry, I was looking at the wrong number.
I was about to say, that seems very low for the first attack of a rogue.
17 is still not that great.
17 and still, unfortunately, still does not hit, but sounds a bit more correct. You stab at it. Once again, the chitinous bony plates on its side seems to rear up and prevent you from actually doing it any damage. Shaq, you're up next.
First attack is 26.
26 hits, roll for damage.
Great. That's 14 points of damage.
14 points of damage. It is looking so hurt. It is so hurt.
Second attack is a 22.
22 hits.
Uh, 19 points of damage.
How do you want to do this?
Yes! So, the thing surfaced, right?
It did. Now it is closer to the surface of the water.
Well, like, it's has it... Okay, so it's still underwater?
It is still underwater. It went back underwater when it came back down.
Okay. How far underwater is it?
About 5 feet.
Okay, can I say that it surfaces real quick?
Sure, it pokes its head up.
Yes. The head, erupts from the surface of the water, and then Shaq erupts from the surface of the head.
Okay. as a brilliant, display of spattered dark purple gore, and the water itself seems to come back down to a calm. You watch as the body of the creature is still moving, and it immediately begins to thrash Horton spasm horrifically as it uses its death frenzy. And it's going to make an attack of opportunity, or a full round attack against everybody it threatens. So, yeah.
Is there a will save since that's an attack?
I'm not sure, since it's also dead. So I think it does have to be against the creature, and right now I think it's kind of an object? Correct me if I'm wrong, anyone who is interested in my logic.
I mean, is it dead, like, right? Is it considered dead as it's doing the attack?
It says, when a reef claw is killed, its body spasms horrifically.
Hmm.
And then it says, immediately upon dying, this is what it does. So, I think it is dead.
Okay.
Alright, it's gonna make two attacks against Rutha. Does a 22 hit Rutha?
Nope.
Okay. Does a 22 hit? Just roll really badly. Not. Okay. Shaq.
Yes.
Does a 22 hit?
No.
What
I mean,
in the
yes,
world?
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. Yes, it does.
Oh, it does. Okay, I was about to say. I'm just, like, it is rolling terribly. You take 18 points of damage.
Okay.
Okay.
Deck's now bloodied.
Yeah, it's gonna take another attack. Maybe it'll roll better than a 2. There we go. Does a 35 hit?
Yes.
Okay. 12 points of damage.
Cool.
Gone.
What am I supposed to roll?
Does a 24 hit? Does the 24 hit you?
Yes.
Okay, 14 points of damage. Does the 24 hit you?
If it's tied, it hits, right?
Yes. Yes, it is.
Yes.
20 points of damage.
Well, how much was that altogether?
It was 34 total.
Okay.
Okay, and last but not least, Tanis. Hopefully you are okay. Does that 25 hit?
Yes.
15 points of damage. Does a 39 hit?
Yes.
10 more points of damage. And with that, its body's spasmodic jerking comes to a stop. And the cave once again is quiet.
Shaq's going to attempt to Shaq is still laser focused right now. He's going to attempt to locate the shiny at the bottom of the lake.
Okay. You're like, glad that's done, and immediately swim downward. Make a perception check.
Cool. Total 20?
Total 20. The bottom of the pool is... And do you have dark vision? Oh, wait, no. Her sword is still glowing.
I do, though.
Okay, excellent. Yeah. Even better. You go down, and the bottom of the pool is dark, silty. But in time, you do manage to see one glint of metal, and you swim down even deeper and manage to grab onto the armor and the weapon that had been, that was, is still attached to the Fungal Guardian, but you haul all of it back up to the surface, nearly bumping your head on the enormous reef claw.
Can I do some sort of perception to see what it is? Or what would I need to do to find out what it is?
What is?
What the armor and the weapon are.
Oh, it is the same as it was before.
And what was that? I don't think I remember that part.
It is a standard scimitar, well made, but it is +1 chainmail. And it is also carrying a +1 light steel shield.
Alright. Well, we have another crustacean under our belts, guys. Anybody want this stuff? Shaq's kind of panting right now.
Rutha claps him on the shoulder and does a lay on hands. Says, that was quite a rush.
That was not cool. Cohen doesn't look happy.
I'm sorry about that, guys. I didn't know. I guess I should have figured disturbing the water in a cave wasn't a great idea.
Could I get somebody to heal me up?
Man, that was... That took a lot more out of us than I think we anticipated.
Okay. Well... Somebody put this in one of their magic satchels. I thought this was... I don't think I have any use for it.
It's gonna be, kind of hard to do. It is classified as huge.
Oh, I'm talking about the armor and weapons. Sorry.
Ah, yes.
he is going to attempt to, fillet at least one of the claws.
Okay, the claw is about the same size as you are, based on the, picture.
Big target.
I want to see how much... Just see if I can get a decent amount of meat out of the claw.
Okay. Make a... yeah, heal check.
Heal check. Yay.
Seventeen?
Okay. You're not a chef of food that's bigger than you, mostly. But there's a lot of meat to be had on the inside, and even though you do mangle a bit of the outside, you still get a good possibly 10 pounds of meat.
Well, we got at least something out of this.
You got something out of it.
Well, we can sell that armor. Split the profits. And, you know, I could try to do something with this meat over a campfire or something.
The way I see it,
and Gloria will give us like 20 gold for it.
The items that we've collected so far have been within the home of the Arconas, and so either Gloria will be glad to have them back from creatures that were attacking us, or if he doesn't miss them, certainly they could be spoils of what was off here. But we'll take care of that when the time comes. For now, if everyone is healed up, it's time to go rescue our friends if we can.
I think the only things he should miss are the ones you took from the room up there.
The armor you specifically took off of his statues?
Yeah, that stuff.
Off of the taxidermy-looking dude in the room that time?
Yeah, you might miss that, I think. Maybe.
Tanis ignores this line of conversation and is focusing on just catching her breath because she got hurt really bad.
All right, and as each of you begin to take a breath and heal up, you realize that there is a door directly to the north that... a door directly to the north and a door directly to the south.
Can we investigate and see if there's been anybody that's come this way? If either of the doors looks like it's seen more use?
Make a survival check.
Arutha will invite Cone over to give her a hand with this, if possible. Or rather, to check the other door. She'll check one, and she'll check the south one if Cone would check the north one.
I'm mostly good at looking for traps.
That is a critical failure. delicious.
And you're like, there are lots of footprints around here. And a few bloodstains. And, oh wait, that's ours.
I got a natural 20.
Hey! And you're just like, I could smell on the air. There is a bit of a draft. Something that has a musky scent. Almost reptilian.
Okay, musky reptiles. Not exactly my favorite smell.
Blood folk? Troglodytes?
Giant Gila monsters? I don't know.
Could you come and check this door? I am absolutely inept at trying to investigate this stuff.
Could I sniff the other door?
Alright, and this is the door to the north?
Yeah.
Sniff it good.
Alright.
Sniff it.
Make a sniff check, survival.
Twenty-three.
Okay. As you go through and scent the air, you can tell there's a faint, spicy scent of cedar, oak, redwood, cherry, and also pyrus.
This one smells like trees. Even cherry wood. That stuff is yummy to chew on.
Very strange. Well, I like the sound of that better than I like the sound of musty reptile smells. Can you get the door open?
I would like to check the door for any kind of trap.
Okay, make a perception check. Eighteen. You check, looking up and down, and then on the knob, and you don't see any sort of traps.
Shall I open it?
Oh, stand aside. This ought to make Tannis feel better. Ruth would like to kick the door open.
All right, and the door's not even locked. As you bring up your foot and shove it through the door, the very first thing that you notice is the room is devoid of people.
Well, that's good.
The next one, you can tell that the room seems to be filled with books and scrolls and what seem to be small carved figurines.
Figurines of what?
Let's not touch those.
I'm not touching, I'm looking with my eyes.
This simple chamber contains a single bed and a number of shelves carved into the stone walls. All manner of animal figurines, some crude and of carved wood, others exquisite and sculpted from potentially stone or even metal, decorate these shelves. As well as a few scrolls, possibly blueprints, sketches. Lastly, a heap of raw material for crafting more of these exquisite animals lies near the western wall.
Tannis would like to do detect magic over the space and see if anything shows up.
You use detect magic and nothing appears to be magical.
Are there any rabbits?
You look over the materials and yes, there does seem to be one rabbit.
Look, they made a rabbit!
I don't know.
But if they had carved a puka, would we have been able to see it?
Interesting question.
If a puka falls in the forest, does it make a sound?
Depends on who's listening.
Where's the next door?
Gone, you just blew my mind.
Before we leave this space, Tanis would like to do a religion check to see if these look like idols. And if they do, if she knows what people group they might belong to.
If the seniors are doing this, she'll get another if possible.
Okay. Make your check.
All right, that is 14. Do I get to aid another?
Here we go.
I can't remember Arian Rhodes' name right now.
Okay. You're both like, well, that's a gecko, and that's a cougar. And that one seems to be some sort of gold wyvern. But that is about as much as you can tell. Though you can, as you look over them, you can tell that they are some of them are rather finely crafted.
Well, we've got some valuable material already. I don't feel compelled to grab anything else in here. We should keep moving.
Do any of them look like precious metals?
You notice very specifically that the drake not only is a gold color, but seems to be made of gold, and its eyes seem to be made of pearls.
Definitely take one. It's dragon.
Hey, I thought you weren't supposed to touch that.
Stop it.
Ruth don't. No touch. Her. No touch. No touch. Don't touch statues. I don't want anything coming out of the water. I don't want anything turning back to life. Let's just find who we're looking for. I want them out of this maze.
Rutha is like actually stopping Tanis from grabbing it.
Yeah, as your hand reaches up and is only about an inch from the surface of this tiny gold statue, the rest of your friends immediately grab you by your body and force you away from the statue.
It's not even magical.
It might be mechanical.
Cone, is it trapped?
Perception check.
Make a perception check to see if it's trapped.
Twenty-nine.
Do you touch the statue while looking over it?
I am perceiving them.
Okay. As you stand a little ways back of the statue, and make your way around, studying the teeth, the claws, the scales, they're all quite beautiful. But as far as you can tell, it doesn't appear to be trapped.
Doesn't appear to be trapped, but maybe you still shouldn't touch it.
Fine.
At least on the way in. Maybe you could take it on the way out.
Still she's, thinking about those she cigars. Sulking.
She's definitely sulking. And, pushes herself off of Mukon's back and just walks in whatever direction the party's going to go.
Okay.
Next door.
Make a perception check.
Total 22.
Okay. Let me double check one thing. Yeah, you come down and you see a second door to the south.
That's the only door we can see?
As of now, yes.
Okay, one last thing. Cone, can you pinpoint why this room smells the way that you said it does? Or was that just the door?
Could I tell?
Knowledge nature as well.
Is it the materials that the things are made out of?
Make a nature check.
Cool. That's just a 9.
I got a natural 20.
Okay. It has a very musky reptile scent. Something that you once smelled when you went to go visit a menagerie. Very specifically the reptile room.
I think we were smelling the other room. Like, to figure out why it smelled so nice. Right?
Maybe. Alright. The door still stands before you.
Okay. Then, this one, can we go through the process of checking it for traps and opening it if it's not trapped?
Go for it. You know the drill.
We do.
I don't want to go in this room, really. I don't really want to go in this room.
But
it smells like lizards.
This is a different door than the one that we looked at earlier, right? The northern-facing one that was outside?
The northern-facing one smelled like cedar wood and papyrus. And you went to that one and found the figurines. This is the southern one.
Oh, gotcha. So there was no door in the first room that we went to?
Ah, no. It was a small chamber. I will actually send you a link to it.
Okay. Well, Cone, we have to keep moving somehow. We have to get further in.
Cone, make a perception check.
Fourteen,
okay.
Yeah, it just smells bad. I mean, you guys need to have your swords up or something if I open this door.
All right. Can Ruther ready in action? The door opens. Can she be ready to fight if something happens?
You can be.
Then, yeah, let's do that.
Okay.
All right, I will... open the door and then jump back.
Okay.
Kind of like stretch out my arm, like kind of open it and like toss it open a little bit while I'm jumping back.
All right. As you very quietly open the door, you see immediately, 4 lit braziers illuminate this vast chamber. A cathedral-like space made all the more immense for its lack of benches or other concessions to comfort. The floor itself is a polished tan marble, with the walls rising up to form a domed ceiling 60 feet above. Alcoves line these walls, 6 in all, inside of which stands a human-sized figure. But upon closer inspection, this figure seems to be more catten or catfolk, or at very least it has the head of a tiger on each of the heads. To the south, a few steps lead up to a pulpit-like area with three more statues of the same figure, the central one being twice as tall and holding out two lances before him.
Yeah, don't touch those, please. And Rutha would like to look at its hands.
Okay, make a perception check.
Well, she just wants to see what direction they're facing.
Mm-hmm. That would be a very easy perception check.
Yes. That's a total 18.
Okay. It seems to be holding the lances with the backs of its hands.
Uh-huh. So, Rutha, or rather, player knows what this thing is. Would Rutha know what that means?
Make a religion check.
Alrighty. Tanis, come here for a second. Take a look at this. Does this look familiar to you?
And Tanis will go ahead and roll to see if she can do eight another.
Alright.
Yeah, that's 18.
Cool. I'm rolling so poorly tonight. Holy cow. Okay. So, eight another gives you two health,
plus two,
right?
Yep.
Okay. Then, I think that brings Ruth is up to a 16. Does Tanis's 18, like, count as a check as well?
Unfortunately, it does not. It's just to help.
Okay.
Yeah, you look at this creature and it's like, that's weird. Yeah. Yeah, this is... Someone definitely made their captains wrong.
Okay. Well. That's a very peculiar sort of thing. I don't like it. I don't trust it. I'm not sure exactly what it means, but I don't plan to mess with it. So, I think, instead, we should...
Question. Does anyone speak Abyssal or Infernal?
Not Rutha.
If there is writing, Tanis can cast Comprehend Languages.
Okay, yes, there is writing at the bottom of the central statue.
Then she will cast Comprehend Languages and read it from as far back as she can read it from.
Okay.
Rutha will step back, following Tanis's lead.
Okay, as you look and you can see the scrolled writing at the base of the central statue, you see the words and symbols seem to shift around until, even though that you can't, they don't seem to shift into common, you understand their meaning. It's simple, it's a very simple plaque that says, "For the glory of Behor."
And can Tanis do a religion check to see if she recognizes that name, or is that pretty obvious?
Go for it.
That is a 20 total.
20 total.
There you go.
You don't recognize this name.
What?
Does she recognize what plane it might have come from?
You guess...
Or what people group it's related to?
You guess from the, infernal writing that it's definitely from one of the lower planes. Probably right, one of the hells.
Alright, she does not speak his name, but she'll tell the others quietly, she'll tell them, "This place is for the glory of very powerful being from the lower planes."
That would probably explain the heebie-jeebies I get just from looking at it. So, is there anything in this room that we feel we might need?
Make one more perception check for this particular room.
Okay. Natural 20!
Hey! Jeez. Even though they were quiet, they were staying hidden. You look over and you see two very faintly glinting orbs to the left
ah.
and to the right. As you look closer, you immediately feel your breath catch before you realize that you haven't spoken yet, and they appear to be asleep. As two 18-foot-long cobras seem to be curled at the sides of the corners of the room.
What? Okay. So, all right. Ruza is going to gesture to Tanis, and I guess what's we have a hand signal for like message. We've established this, I think. Right.
All right. And this is the cobra that you see, though it is not quite awake as of yet. It seems to have almost a green and white marking, almost as if it's a ghostly type of cobra.
If Ruza motions for message, Tanis is actually going to motion just a minute, and she is going to attempt to sneak back out of the room quietly, and then she will cast Recharge Innate Magic there so she can get her message spell back, because it has a verbal component and she doesn't want to say it in the room.
All right.
I think Cone might want to sneak back with you.
Yeah.
All right, then she will return after she has refreshed her racial spells, and then she will cast message.
We need to get out of here right now. There are enormous cobras. Don't look, just follow me. And
were there any other doors in that room? Did we see any?
As you walked into the room? No, you didn't see any more doors.
Okay.
Wait, Ruth, wait.
Detect evil is a move action, not a spell. So can she detect evil on the cobras? One of the cobras without waking it up?
I will say yes.
Okay. She's gonna concentrate on one and just rack her brain and try to figure it out. Is this an evil creature?
You focus in on the creature itself, and even as its breathing is slow and rhythmic, you can feel the power behind it. But you find no evil. It seems to be raised here. It is a creature. It is a beast.
All right. Good to know. She does not want to mess with that thing. She, can she cast her detect evil over at the statues as they're making their way out? Didn't really occur to me to do that earlier.
Okay.
Okay, one of the twisty-handed, you know, tiger statues like to detect evil on that Joker.
Okay, you use detect evil on the, you know, the central one with, you know, the writing from the hells written below it, and you do seem to get a whiff of something.
Uh-huh. Okay, so we're leaving, and that's great.
Hey, Ruza, mm-hmm. why don't we just, you know, kill them in their sleep? If they're asleep.
I am really not sure that it would be that simple. They are enormous, and...
Why do we have to kill them? What's the point?
Right, exactly. I'd much rather just reconsider We need to get further into this place, not be eaten by snakes here on the fringes of barely getting inside.
Maybe we can just double check to see if there's any other possible way we can go, like on a, even on the water or something.
Okay. If you'd like to do that, everybody make a perception check.
Oh, but first, I'm going to close this door very softly.
Okay, you close it ever so quietly.
Everyone is out, right? Before you do that, I player asking, everyone out of the
Cinder,
room.
No!
Count, head count.
Shaq's out.
Tanis will come out, and she goes over and makes sure that Mukon is out, and just seems to have a moment with him before getting on his back to continue.
Is Sindar out? Shaq out?
Yes, Shaq is out.
Okay.
All right. Okay. Finally. Tanis, as you go around the room and you make one final pass, you feel a draft of air. An odd one. One where there shouldn't be one. And as you focus in, you follow the currents of air over to one of the solid walls. You push it in, and very quietly, silently, it slides to the side, revealing a tunnel that goes deeper into the walls.
What
does that smell like?
Freedom! And, yeah, she will wait then. Instead of going out and remounting Mukon, she will wait for him to come over and join her and wait for the others. How dark is it down this tunnel?
It is dark. Dark.
All right. Then she will definitely get on his back, give him a little scratch under the jaw, and depend on his dark vision to move forward.
All right, question for Rutha. How long does the light last on your chosen one blade?
Oh, she would have. She would have basically, like, turned it off when they got back onto the land, I think. It's
okay.
It would have been just off.
Is it at will?
It is, I guess actually I should check that. I've always treated it like it was her just kind of calling it up, so. Let me look at that again real quick.
All right.
It says that it lasts 10 minutes per level, and that, yeah, it is twice as bright as the normal light spell. Can be used to counter or dispel any darkness spell of equal or lower spell level. What would it say if it were the kind of thing that just lasts and lasts and lasts?
At will. It said it lasts, I think you said a minute per level.
Duration was 10 minutes per level.
Oh, 10 minutes per level. Okay.
Okay. So,
does it say you can break it up into specific increments?
How often can she reactivate it?
It doesn't say that specifically. It's a cantrip, but the ability that she uses for the chosen one thing is what makes it shine that much brighter. So as a cantrip, that's at will, right?
Oh, you have it as a cantrip.
Yes.
Okay, yes. Then you can do it at will.
I think I do. Actually, no, I don't, because oh no, I've been doing that wrong this entire time. So Rutha does not have that as just a basic spell, I guess. So let me look at how this is supposed to work. Cast it once per day as a spell-like ability. And if, I guess if someone else casts light or if she uses it that one time, then it glows. The radius and duration is doubled. So 20 minutes per level? Oh, man. Okay, so the mechanics of this are weird.
I'll look into it a bit more later.
Thanks.
For right now, we'll say it's still glowing.
All right. Then yes, it's still glowing. And can she put... She'll put it in its sheath. That'll stop some of the glowing at least. Help negate that problem.
But yes, you see a long twisting tunnel before you.
Cool. Then if it's still glowing, when they all get in the tunnel, she'll take the sword back out.
All right, you can see inside the tunnel.
Beautiful. That's better. Oh, man. Okay. Yeah, that's how you know when the sheath's replacing. There'll be like little pinpoints of light just poking out. You gotta be careful about that stuff. All right. I suppose we're following this track because there's nowhere really nowhere else to go at this point.
Okay. As you go down this tunnel, you notice that the roughly hewn stone seems to slowly shift into more carved and polished marble tiles. The tunnel itself curves sharply to the north here, ending at a pair of large bronze double doors. Each door is carved with images of tigers chasing other tigers in four adjacent circles. At the center of each circle of tigers, a snarling tiger head looks out.
Uh-huh. Ruth is going to try to roll religion again, because this is just... Can't get a finger on it.
Tanis will give her guidance on that.
How about, can we both roll religion? We're both, like, adherents here. Is that okay?
Yeah, Tanis would like to roll her own, if that's possible.
That sounds like a
That is idea. Possible, yes.
I've had an awful, awful night of rolling. This stinks. Okay. That's better. More like a 17, I think.
17? Okay. Tigers. You've heard of creatures with tiger heads before. Okay, and so have you, Tanis.
So we cool our 17s and get a 34.
Unfortunately, no. But yeah, tigers have many... show up as imagery in many different locations. But you think back, and there is one specific devil that is known for having a tiger head, and known to be still single-jointed, but to be able to grasp things backwards. You have, in the faintest recesses of your mind, you feel the word Rakshasa float to the surface.
Okay.
And, like, at this moment, Ruth and Tanis just, like, they both look at each other and mouth it at the same time.
Yep. Oh, that is such, oh, that's such bad stuff. Oh, wow, if that's what's going on here, then... I am very, very, very concerned.
You don't suppose that there's four of them if there's four on the door? Do you?
I don't know. The Rakshasas, they can take on other faces, can't they?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh dear. And they're deal makers, aren't they? They're the kind that try and sway people to their way of thinking. This does not bode well at all. And this door, it's just huge and so brightly burnished. Of course they want us to walk through it.
I'm gonna check for traps, but not touch it yet.
Thank you.
Alright. You check for traps. Make a perception check.
Twenty-seven.
You go along the door. And you begin to move your fingers across the symbols and the sigils and begin to look into the lock. I need you to make a will save.
Twenty-five.
You feel your fingers move along the wall itself. And as you move your finger across the lock, you don't feel anything. And at first you're like, there's no lock here. But as you focus in, you can feel a faint tingle beneath your paws. And you're like, I'm not sure if I can unlock this. But as you press your hand further forward, you can feel it sink a half inch too far. And as you begin to push, you fall through the door. And the rest of you watch as Cone seems to vanish through the door itself.
Oh no. I think Ruth is gonna jump in after.
Could we do a reflex save to try to grab him?
Ruth, you said you're going to jump through?
I did say that, didn't I?
Yes.
Yep, I guess so.
Make a will save.
Okay. Yeah, that's not bad. 13 plus.
I can almost assure you, you make it.
I think it's like 7, so total 20, I'm pretty sure.
Okay, yeah, yeah. You also pass straight through the wall and grab Cone on the other side. And you realize this isn't a door. It's an illusion. It's here to try and get people to try and unlock a door that doesn't actually have a lock. And you can imagine how frustrating it would be for you to not feel any tumblers turning whenever you moved your lockpick set. For those who already know that it's there, it's not a hindrance at all.
Can Ruth speak through, or to the people behind the door?
It seems you can see through it at this point.
Oh, well, cool. Alright then. She'll speak to Tanis. Still with message, I think, up? Is that still active?
It lasts a while.
Okay. She'll say, it's some kind of illusion, but it did seem to try to do something to my will as I came through. I'd be careful, but it isn't actually substantial, I don't think.
Tanis is going to use detect magic on it to see if she can detect the spell that's being used.
You can use detect magic to detect the school, and you can detect that it is an illusion spell. Make an arcana check or spellcraft check.
Okay. 22 that is a 22 on arcana.
Okay. This appears to be the spell Illusory Wall.
Okay.
Okay, I don't think that it's dangerous. It's just annoying. Should I get rid of it?
Going with my gut on this one.
We didn't get hurt, but go with your gut.
I know someone in our party who a will save would be rather difficult.
Yeah.
Okay. And she's going to use Dispel Magic on it.
Okay. Make your roll.
Alright, that is a total of 20. For the caster level.
Excellent. Versus the spell's caster level. You match it exactly. So you hit the DC, and the wall is dispelled.
Alright. Well, now, what have we got here? And she walks into the next room to rejoin Rutha and... Well, I guess I should say that Mukan walks in. She rides into the next room to join the others.
As you walk through, you all can already see that the walls are lined with two statues, each one depicting the same tiger-headed man that you saw before. But in these two statues, instead of holding a lance, he is holding a flag. And as you look at the flag, you recognize it. It's one you've seen every morning, every day. It's a Corvosan flag.
Whoa. Well, this is extremely ominous. If there are devils controlling Corvosa, or at least deeply involved in its workings, that does not seem to bode well for what we're up.
Can I do a knowledge history check? The player has a pretty good idea, but I want to check to see if Tanis gets it.
Go for it.
That's a 19. Okay. Would she know about Corvosa's long, shadowy past with dealing with devils and things like that?
You haven't heard specifically of the Corvosan royalty dealing with devils or what have you. But you have heard of one thing that kind of seems to pique your interest. Something that everybody's heard of. The Curse of the Crimson Throne. No ruler has actually died a natural death once they've reached the throne of Corvosa. And everyone knew of this curse. It was just a byword that most people used. But what if there was a reason?
Alright, well, she will communicate that to the others. She'll tell them. Well, I don't know. Corvos has got a lot of history, and somebody had to be responsible for the curse. Who's to say it's not these guys?
Disturbing. But at least now we have some idea of what's actually going on. And unless I miss my guess, they will feel the sting of my weapons, at least, that much the more. If it should come to that. Kind of hoping to sort of give some more confidence to Dennis.
Well, at least you know if you see any of these guys, they're evil.
Without a doubt. And I guess now cast our eyes about and look for further ways in. Because we're still just in like a passageway, right?
Still in a passageway. As you get close to the end, you see that this passageway actually does dead end. There does seem to be something so slightly protruding from the wall. As you come into this room, you see that there are two alcoves that adorn either side of this otherwise empty room. In one alcove, a long lever with an ebony handle protrudes from the wall.
And the other alcove is empty, it looks like?
The other alcove is empty.
Okay. And those two, E2 there, those are the two Rakshasa holding the flags, right?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I haven't seen any other ways in or out. I hope this lever isn't our only option, but I have a bad feeling it might be.
Detect magic on the lever?
I use detect magic on the lever. It is unmagical.
Does it look like a trap?
It looks like a lever.
So who votes pull the lever?
I think we don't have any other choice. We just need to do it.
I can pull the lever.
Jack, do you pull the lever?
Can I do a perception check first?
We'll do it together.
Okay, go ahead and make a perception check.
It is an 18.
18, what are you looking for?
Traps, any kind of rigging, any kind of poking thing. Upon when we, anything that'll happen when we pull the lever.
You look up, down, and all around the lever. It seems to just be the single black lever.
Alright. Ruther, you said you want to do this together?
Yes, let's.
Alright. One, two.
Two.
Three.
Three.
All right. As you pull the lever, you immediately hear the sound of rocks shifting, grinding. And as you immediately look up and begin to hold up your hands in preparations for the rocks that are about to fall on your head, you feel a sudden jolt and a shift. And you can feel yourself almost lose your balance. As there's a bit of vertigo, and you look back at the passage that you just stepped through, and you can see a wall, solid, sliding by. And it only takes about 6 seconds before you see a secondary entrance open up in the room that you just came from into a completely different room. And it's at this point you realize you finally made it to the Vivified Labyrinth.
Oh, man.
Oh, my gosh.
And that is where we will end for tonight.
Wow.
Okay.
Way to keep me just completely on edge for like 2 hours. Solid. Holy cow.
You guys didn't die.
Oh my goodness.
And that's what the room currently looks like.